بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي كفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد, after Asr we were discussing the hadith of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi explained to the Sahaba Kiram radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, that in a very concise manner Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi encapsulated the various virtues of the month of Ramadan. And this Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did in the last day of the month of Shaban. But because at the end of Shaban we don't have a majlis, this is our majlis of the month of Shaban, so I thought it appropriate to mention the hadith in this majlis. We have gone through about half the hadith. We have some portions left to discuss, which Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in. So he also said to the Sahaba that huwa shahru sabr, that this is a month of patience, wa sabru thawabuhu al-jannah, that because we have to exercise patience, curb our desires as far as food, drink, intimate relations with our spouses is concerned, so we have to restrain ourselves. In lieu of that sabr and patience, the reward is jannat. Nabi Sallallahu also says, huwa shahru al-musawat, this is a month of showing sympathy for the less fortunate people. At the time of iftar, many of us have a number of dishes, delicacies on the dastakhan, on the tablecloth. If we have 10 items of a certain delicacy, then it is not too difficult to put aside 3 or 4 of those items for the needy neighbor or someone that is in need, that they can also enjoy the iftar. Think of the less fortunate ones. The Sahaba Kiram radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in used to be so particular in putting this into practice, showing sympathy for others, that they used to forego their own needs and give preference to other people before their own needs. This Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran to يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً, that they give preference to other people over their own needs, even though they are in need themselves. With regard to the revelation of this verse, Mufassirin commentators have mentioned different incidents. One famous incident where a starving person came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam for his need. He hadn't eaten for days. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced to the Sahaba that who is ready to volunteer to take this person home and feed him. So his sahabi, Abu Talha Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, he volunteered to take him home. His wife was Umm Sulaim radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala was a khadim and he used to serve Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the age of 10. For full 10 years up to the age of 20, he served and ran the errands for Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So his mother Umm Sulaim radhiyallahu anha had lost her first husband. The father was Anas radhiyallahu ta'ala, who was Malik, and she later got married to Hazrat Abu Talha Ansari radhiyallahu ta'ala. So Hazrat Abu Talha Ansari then volunteered to take this poor and hungry person home, in spite of the fact that they barely had enough food at home that day to even feed their own children. So anyhow, he took the guest home. When he got home, he said to his wife, Umm Sulaim radhiyallahu anha, that you somehow lull the children to sleep, put them to sleep. So she managed to put the little children to sleep. And then they sat down on the dastakhan with this guest. They had a lantern, the light of which they doused. They made it very dim, so that the guests cannot see in the darkness what is happening. So in that very dim light, Hadrat Abu Talha radiallahu anha said to his wife Umm Sulaim radiallahu anha, that both of us will pretend to be eating, whereas in actual fact we will not be eating. Let the guest eat to his full. So they allowed the guest to eat, and they did not even eat a single morsel, in order to give preference to the guest over their own needs. So it was on this incident, Allah Ta'ala liked this gesture of theirs so much that Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse praising them, that yu'thiruna ala anfusim walau kana bihim khasasa, that they give preference to other people over their own needs, even though they themselves are hungry, they are in need themselves, but yet they give preference to other people. And this was a general trend of the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, even after the demise of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the famous battle of Yarmouk took place, a Sahabi Abu Jaham radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that I went out into the battlefield after the battle was over, and I got news that one of my cousins was also wounded in the battle. He was lying somewhere among the wounded people. So he says, I took a little bag of water with me, thinking that perhaps I can wash his wounds, I can give him water to drink. When he says the battlefield eventually found his cousin lying there wounded, he went forward to offer the water for him to drink. But the cousin next to him heard the groan of another wounded person. That person also was calling out for assistance, for some water. So Abu Jaham radiallahu anhu says, my cousin beckoned to me that attend to that person's need first. Even though he himself was needy, he was also thirsty, he was in the throes of death, he gestured that go to that person. When he went to the second person, next to him a third person let out a cry of agony. He was also in the throes of death, also in need of some water. So the second person gestured to Abu Jaham radiallahu ta'ala that you go to the third person. When he went to the third person, he found the third person had already breathed his last, he had left the world. So quickly hastened and went back to the second person to give him water to drink, but he also had passed away, he also became a martyr. He says, eventually I went to my cousin, the first person, I found him also, that he had breathed his last, he was also martyred in that battle. So in this way, even in the last moments, in the last breaths, they used to forego their own needs for the necessities of other people and give preference to other people. So this, the hadith indicates that the month of Ramadan is a month of showing sympathy for others, even if sometimes we have to forego some of our own luxuries, our own needs. Many of us indulge in luxuries and other people cannot even afford to have the basic foodstuff. At least see to their needs, attend to their needs, show sympathy for them. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also says, وَشَهْرٌ فِيهِ يُرْزَقُ وَشَهْرٌ فِيهِ يُكْثَرُ يُزَادُ فِي رِزْقِ الْمُؤْمِنِ, that Allah Ta'ala increases the provision of a mu'min in this month. So when Allah Ta'ala increases for us, why cannot we spare something for the less fortunate, for the needy people? And because in this month Allah Ta'ala increases our rozi, Nabi Sa'adam then encourages us that man fattara sa'iman fihi kana maghfiratan lidhunubihi wa itka raqabati minan nar wa kana lahu mithlu ajrihi min ghayri an yunqasa min ajrihi shay. That because Allah Ta'ala increases the rozi of a mu'min in this month, then look to the needs of others as well. Try and take a guest with you at home to partake of your iftar with you. Nabi Sallam gives the benefit of letting someone else break his fast with your food. Nabi Sallam says, the person who takes another person to join him for iftar, to break his fast, then the person that has shown this kind gesture, Allah Ta'ala will forgive his sins, Allah Ta'ala will save him from the fire of Jahannam, Allah will grant him such reward equal to the reward of that fasting person whose roza he assisted in breaking, to the extent that the person for whom he offered food, that person's reward will not be diminished in the least. He will get the full reward of his roza, but this person that provided food for him, he will get the reward of his own roza, and together with that, the reward of that fasting person's roza as well. Nabi Sa'adam further says, wa shahrun أوله رحمة وأوسطه مغفرة وآخر عتكم من النار. There is such a month which Allah has divided in 3-4 portions. The first third of the month in which Allah Ta'ala's mercy descends in abundance. The second portion of the month, the portion of maghfirat, forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala forgives countless of souls in this month of Ramadan. And the third portion, Allah Ta'ala frees, emancipates many souls from the fire of Jahannam who deserve to go into Jahannam. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi used to say that in my opinion, in my understanding, the reason why this month has been divided into three sections is because we find three types of people as well. The first type of person or people will be those people who constantly repent for their sins to the extent that when the month of Ramadan arrives, they are not blemished with any sin whatsoever. They have no burden of sins. For them, from the very first day of the month of Ramadan, they are already enjoying the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then as the Shaykh said, the second type of people are those who have a light burden of sins upon their shoulders. So they need to make an extra effort. They have to fast for that first 10 days, the next 10 days as well, before their sins are forgiven. The hadith tells us, مَنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِ. That the person who fasts in the month of Ramadan with iman, that is with total sincerity, and with hope in the mercy and the rewards of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala forgives his sins. So the person who has a small burden of sins, he has to make that extra effort, travel that extra mile in order to have his sins forgiven after the first two-thirds of the month of Ramadan, after 20 days of Ramadan. The third type of people you will find those who are burdened with such a great load of sins that fasting for 20 days is not sufficient for the forgiveness of the sins. So they have to complete the entire course of the month of Ramadan before their sins are forgiven and Allah Ta'ala emancipates them from the fire of Jahannam. So this hadith also indicates that the month of Ramadan is a month of forgiveness. When Allah Ta'ala readily forgives many people's sins, and which is perhaps the reason that we also read the hadith that on one occasion when Nabi Kareem Sam ascended the minbar in the Masjid al-Nabawi, when he climbed onto the first step, he said, Ameen. When he got onto the second step, again he said, Ameen. On the third step, he repeated, Ameen. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu majmeen were perplexed that what is the reason for this unusual Ameen that is emanating from the lips of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So someone asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that when I climbed the first step of the minbar, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi wa sallam, the angel of Allah appeared and he said, woe betide that person who allows the entire month of Ramadan to go by without securing his forgiveness in the court of Allah. And upon that I said, Ameen. So this was basically a bad dua, a curse of Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Ameen on that curse. Meaning that this month is such a blessed month that it is very, very easy to secure one's forgiveness. In spite of that, if a person is so unfortunate that the entire month goes by, he cannot secure his forgiveness, then he's indeed very, very unfortunate. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that when I got onto the second step, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam said, woe betide that person who finds his parents in old age when they are in need and he cannot serve them, he cannot attend to their needs, he ignores them. Then woe betide that person is heading for destruction. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on that I said, Ameen. So many of us have our parents still living in old age. We should try our utmost to serve them, take their du'as, and make them the means for us, inshallah, through the grace of Allah, entering Jannat. Nabi Sa'azam says, when I got onto the third step, then Jibreel alayhi salam said, woe betide that person who hears your name, that is the name of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salam, and he does not send durood upon you. So this durood also is very, very important. Whenever we hear the name of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to at least say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the right of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon his ummah. So nevertheless, the Nabi some further goes on in the hadith to say, man khaffafa an mamluki kana maghfiratan lidhunubihi wa itka raqabati minan nar. that the person who lessens the burden of his servants in this month, then Allah Ta'ala forgives his sins as well. Allah Ta'ala saves his neck also from the fire of Jahannam. Then further Nabi Akram some advises that istakthiru fihi bi arba'i khisalin khaslatain turduna bihima rabbakum wa khaslatain la ghina'a bikum anhuma, that increase four actions in this month of Ramadan. Two actions are such that thereby you will be pleasing your Creator, your Rabb, your Sustainer, your Nourisher. And two actions are such that you cannot do without. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explains that أَمَّا الْخَصْلَتَانِ أَلَّتَانِ تُرْضُونَ بِهِمَا رَبَّكُمْ, that those two actions whereby you can greatly please your Nourisher, your Sustainer. What are those two actions? فَشَهَدَتُ أَلَّا إِلَّا إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَتَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. One is to recite abundantly in the month of Ramadan the kalima la ilaha illallah, the shahadatain in the month of Ramadan. We ought to recite it abundantly throughout our lives. But we ought to increase this. Nabi Sallam increase the recitation of kalima in the month of Ramadan. And the second action, make istighfar abundantly. Seek pardon for your sins in the month of Ramadan. وَأَمَّا الْخَصْلَتَانِ لَا غِنَاءَ بِكُمْ عَنْهُمَا, as for those two actions without which you cannot do in the month of Ramadan. فَتَسْأَلُونَ اللَّهَ الْجَنَّةِ وَتَحَوَّذُونَ بِهِ مِنَ النَّارِ, that constantly ask Allah Ta'ala to grant you Jannat, make you fortunate among those people who will be the inhabitants of Jannat, and constantly seek Allah Ta'ala's refuge from the fire of Jahannam. And finally, Nabi Karim Sallam terminates the hadith by saying, "Man saqa sa'iman saqahu Allahu min hawdi sharbatan la tazma'u hatta yadkhul al-jannah." Aw kama qala li sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the person who gives even a bit of water to drink for a fasting person, Allah Ta'ala give him water to drink from my house al-Kawthar. And the water of the house al-Kawthar is so replenishing that when a person drinks even a bit from the Hawz al-Kawthar, he will never feel thirsty until he enters Jannat. That is, on the plains of Qiyamah, he will not feel thirsty. When Nabi Sallam encouraged the Sahaba to break the fast of a fasting person, some Sahaba said to Nabi Karim Sallam, Laysa kulluna yajidu ma yufattiru saim, that everyone is not of us, not so affluent to be able to give a full meal to a fasting person. So how will we attain this virtue? So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied, يُعْتِ اللَّهُ هَذَا الثَّوَابِ لِمَنْ فَتَّرَ صَائِمًا عَلَىٰ تَمْرَةٍ أَوْ عَلَىٰ شَرْبَةِ مَاءٍ أَوْ عَلَىٰ مَسْقَةِ لَبَنٍ, that you don't have to provide a full meal also. Allah grants us a reward of emancipation from the fire of Jahannam, entering into Jannat, getting the reward of a fasting person, if you help to break a person fast by just providing one khajur also, one date also is sufficient, or provide a sip of water for that person to drink, or provide a bit of milk for that person to drink. In this way too, you will get the reward of assisting a person in breaking his fast. So these virtues Nabi Karim Sallam mentioned towards the end of the month of Shaban, in order to mentally, spiritually, physically prepare the ummah for the coming of the month of Ramadan, that you should be prepared, look eager, look forward to receiving this month. But of course, this eagerness, this looking forward to this type of ibadat can only come about when we imbue ourselves with the love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is very, very important. While Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in this world, the Sahaba al-Kiram radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in were fortunate to sit in his company and to learn of the sunnahs of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to learn the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to learn what the Quran and the hadith and the sunnah is saying, and they were able to implement this. But the seal of the prophethood was on the time when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left this world, and there is no Nabi to come up to the day of Qiyamah with a new Shari'at. the Sharia that Nabi Sallam left for us, that we have to practice upon. So now, who do we turn to in order to learn the Quran and the Hadith and the Sunnah, in order to implement the Quran and the Hadith in our lives? Now it is time to turn to the righteous ulama, the sulaha, the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Inna al-ulama warasatul anbiya," that the ulama kiram are the heirs of the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. They have to continue the work left behind by the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, impart knowledge of deen to the masses, teach them Quran and the hadith and the sunnah, practice upon it themselves, encourage others also to practice upon this. So if you sit in the company of the pious, you will learn about the commands of the Quran, the sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and thereby become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهُ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. That say to the people, O Nabi of Allah, that if you truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow me. That is, follow the sunnahs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In turn, Allah will love you, make you His beloved. Allah will forgive your sins, for He is oft forgiving and merciful. So this indicates that when a person has love for someone, when he holds someone beloved, then he should also have love for everything associated with that beloved. So if you have love for Allah, the Quran is associated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a kalam of Allah ta'ala. We have to practice upon the Quran. We claim to have love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So everything associated with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his way of dressing, his way of walking, talking, his way of eating and drinking, his way of ibadat, all that we should bring into our lives, everything associated with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we inculcate in our lives. Thereby we will show true love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith too, that من أحب سنتي فقد أحبني ومن أحبني كان معي في الجنة. That the person who claims to love me should love my sunnahs. In other words, follow my sunnahs, implement my sunnahs. And the person who follows my sunnahs, he has shown true love for me, he will enjoy my company in Jannah. Such a great virtue by inculcating within ourselves the sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ulama kiram very often cite the incident of Layla and Majnun, who were involved. Majnun was head over heels in love with a lady by the name of Layla. It was an illicit relationship. They were not even married. It was a filthy, wrong, indecent, illicit relationship. But ulama many a time give the incident as an illustration, that look at the amount of love he had for Layla, that anything that was associated with Layla too, he used to show love for that as well. And he was a very proficient, excellent poet. He used to express his love in his poetry. In one poem, in two couplets, expressing his love for Layla, he says that أمر بالديار ديار ليلى أقبل ذا الجدار وذا الجدار وما حب الديار شغب قلبي ولكن حب من سكن الديار. That when I pass by the city of Layla, just going through the city of Layla, I begin to kiss even the walls of the city of Layla, on the right of me, on the left of me. In other words, that is why I was given the title Majnun, an insane person. He was mad, head over heels in love with Layla, that people regarded him to be a mad person. His name was not Majnun, he got the title of Majnun. So he says, when I go past her city, then I even kiss the walls of the city of Layla. And he says, وَمَا حُبُّ الدِّيَارِ شَخَبْنَ قَلْبِي. It is not love for the city that is occupying my heart. وَلَكِنْ حُبُّ مَنْ سَكَنَ الدِّيَارَ. It is the love of that Layla who resides in the city that is occupying my heart. So because he had love for Layla, everything associated with Layla, even the walls of the city of Layla, even those walls he would kiss. So similarly, if we have true love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then anything associated with Allah and His Rasul, the Quran Kareem, the Kalam of Allah, the Sunnahs of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we ought to show love for that as well. On one occasion, in one couplet, Majnun expressing his love for Layla, he says that إِذَا مَا بَدَتْ لَيْلَى فَكُلِّي أَعْيُنُ وَإِنْ حَدَّثُوا عَنْهَا فَكُلِّي مَسَامِعُ. That when Layla appears, every part of my body becomes an eye, as if it is looking at Layla. Even my arms, my feet, my fingers, all become an eye. In others, undivided attention, I focus towards Layla. وَإِنْ حَدَّثُوا عَنْهَا فَكُلِّي مَسَامِعُ. And when people speak of Layla, every limb of my body becomes an ear, as if it is listening to the discussion about Layla. That is how much he was in love with Layla. On one occasion, someone said to him, that leave aside this illicit relationship. You are not getting anywhere. Forget about her. Repent for your sins. So look at what he said in one couplet. He said, مِن كُلِّ الْمَعَاسِي أَتُوبُ وَلَكِن مِن حُبِّ لَيْلَى لَا أَتُوبُ. He says, I will seek repentance from every other sin, but I will not seek repentance from my love for Layla. That is how much love he had for Layla. So these incidents are given by ulama to illustrate that when in a filthy love affair, a person loved everything associated with Layla, so in the true love that we ought to inculcate, love for Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the more reason why we should have love for everything associated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the Nabi of Allah, Rasul Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One poet says, تَعْصِ الْإِلَهَ وَتُزْهِرُ حُبَّهُ وَهَذَا لَعُمْرِي بِالْفِعَالِ وَبَدِيعُ لَوْ كُنْتَ صَادِقًا فِي حُبِّكَ أَتَعْتَهُ إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. He says, the poet says, that if you claim to have love for Allah, then why are you disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You are only pretending to show love for Allah. If you had true love for Allah, you would not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is indeed very, very strange, that you claim to have love for Allah, yet you break the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he further goes on to say, that لَوْ كُنْتَ صَادِقًا فِي حُبِّي أَتَعْتَهُ. If you are truly a lover of Allah, you would obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Carry out all His commandments. Why? إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. That when a person has love for someone, he obeys that person. So therefore, when we claim to have love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we ought to obey Allah and obey His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in today's age and time, is by sitting, spending time in the company of the pious, going into the khidmat of the ulama-i kiram, sitting in the company of the pious, learning from them. As Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has also encouraged in a hadith, that al-mar'u ala dini khalili, falyanzur ahadukum man yukhalil, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. That a person by nature, by human nature, he follows the ways of the person whom he befriends. So look very, very carefully who you choose to be your friends. Choose the pious servants of Allah Ta'ala to be your friends. Sit in their company, because you will sit in evil company, then they will take you away from the remembrance of Allah, away from the sunnah lifestyle of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another hadith, Nabi Sallam gives a beautiful example that mithlu jalis salih wa jalis su ka hamil al-misk wa nafikh al-kir. That the example of good company and bad company, good company, the example is like going to a perfume shop, and bad company is like going into the workshop of a blacksmith. Nabi Sallam then explains that فَحَامِلُ الْمِسْكِ إِمَّا أَيُحْذِيَكَ أَوْ تَبْتَعَ مِنْهُ أَوْ تَجِدَ مِنْهُ رِيحًا طَيِّبَةً. If you go into the perfume shop, either the person will give you a sample to use, he'll put some onto your clothes, you get it free of charge, or you will purchase some perfume from him. If not that, at the least, just spending those few minutes in that perfume shop, the fragrance, the sweet smells around you will be enough to make you happy, make you rejoice. So similarly, when we go into the company of the pious people, they in turn give us words of nasiha, words of advice, that can perhaps become the turning point of our lives. And at least by sitting in the company, the spiritual effulgence that Allah Ta'ala has blessed them with, we can also derive some benefit sitting in front of them from the spiritual effulgence that emanates from their personalities. As for evil company, Nabi Sallam gives an example that فَنَافِخُ الْكِيرِ إِمَّا أَن تُحْرِكَ ثَوْبَكَ أَوْ تَجِنَ مِنُهُ رِيحًا خَبِيثَةً. That when you go into the workshop of blacksmith, the furnace that he has set alight there in order to melt his iron ore, etc., that may perhaps burn your clothing, or in the least, you will perceive the foul odor of the smoke that is emanating from that blacksmith's workshop. So similarly, when a person goes and sits in the company of evil people, instead of deriving benefit, his heart becomes darker and darker, and he drifts further away from the teachings of Sharia, from the commands of Allah, and the sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith, Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages us. He says, when you pass by the gardens of Jannat, then partake of the fruits, graze in those gardens. The Sahaba Kiram radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in asked, what are the gardens of Jannat where we can find these fruits, where we can graze? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, assemblies in which Islamic knowledge is disseminated and where the Quran is taught. So sit in those people's company where your Islamic knowledge increases, where you learn the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Hazrat Luqman al-Hakim, Luqman the wise, advised his son that adopt the company of the ulama-i kiram and listen attentively to the words of the wise people, the righteous people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because thereby Allah ta'ala revives dead hearts like he revives the dead ground. When he sends down rain, it brings life into the ground. Sit in the company of the ulama, of the pious, it will revive your dead hearts and make your hearts alive with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith, a sahabi asked Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that who should I adopt as my companion? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that adopt as your companion such a person, that when you look at him, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you listen to him, your knowledge of Islam increases. When you look at his actions, you think of the akhirat. In other words, adopt the company of the pious, righteous people. They will bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After the demise of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala saw people that were just idling, wasting their time in the marketplace, in the bazaars. So he said to them, he announced unto them, that go to the local masjid, because in the local masjid, the legacy of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being distributed. So they all rushed to the masjid, expecting to find some material assets. So they came back disappointed, and they said, we found nothing there of real worth and value. So Hazrat Abu Huraira asked them, what did you see in the masjid? So they said, we saw some people engaged in the tilawat of the Quran, other people engaged in dhikr and tasbih. So Hazrat Abu Huraira said to them, you people are foolish. That is the legacy of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was what I was referring to. That go and attain that legacy, sit in the company of these people that disseminate teaching of the Quran and Kareem, that expound the sunnahs of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that engage in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today's, in this age and time, Allah has made it so easy for us. Practically in every town, we have ulama, we have pious, righteous people whose company we can adopt, sit in their company. Many other ways also, we can sit in the halqas of tafsir, increase our knowledge of the Quran, ulama in this masjid too, our Muhtamim Sahib Azal Mawlana, Abdul Hamid Sahib Dawan Barakatum, every morning after Fajr Salah, tafsir lessons are given. We should try and benefit from this. For the last approximately 30 years almost, Hazrat Mawlana is delivering these lessons. Let us derive benefit. In all other towns too, we will find similar situations where we can sit in the company of the pious, ulama-i kiram. And if nothing else, there are many other ways also. Every town has arrangement for jamaat facilities. People going out in the path of Allah for 3 days, for 40 days, for chilla or even more. Join these jamaats. These are walking madrasas. In this way too, we will increase our deeni knowledge. We will come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are many ways where we can attain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this way, by following the teaching of the Quran, after learning from the righteous and ulama, adopting the sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem Sa'azam, we can solve many, many of the problems of the world that the world is facing in this time and age. If you look around, there is political instability, there is socio-economic problems. We find rampant crime and violence taking place. We find proliferation of natural disasters, volcanic eruptions, earthquakes, famine, floods, tsunamis, and what have you. So as Muslims, Allah has shown us a solution. Western powers to be so-called, normally when they are faced with this crisis, they huddle into back rooms, they go into conference venues, they try and thrash out and try and find the solution. But more often than not, instead of finding solutions, they aggravate the problems. For a Muslim, it is very easy. The root cause of all these problems is also mentioned in the Quran, and the solution is also mentioned in the Quran. The root cause Allah Ta'ala mentions that وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ, that whatever calamity befalls you, it is because of your doing of your own hands, because of your sinning, because of your transgressing the commandments of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala sends down these calamities in the form of earthquakes, in the form of economic turbulence, economic difficulties, in the form of social upheaval, in the form of political instability. In many ways, Allah Ta'ala sends difficulties, hardships upon us. So therefore, Allah Ta'ala has given us a root cause. In another verse, Allah Ta'ala says, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ, that corruption in the form of calamities has made itself manifest on the earth, in the seas, because of the doing of man's own hands. In the hadith to Rasulullah Kareem Sa'azam says, أَعْمَالُكُمْ عُمَّالُكُمْ, that your actions are your rulers. The type of actions you do, that governs the conditions that prevail over you. If your actions are good, favorable, earning the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, Allah will send down favorable conditions. On the other hand, if your actions are rotten, then Allah Ta'ala will send down adverse conditions upon you. Someone asks Aisha Siddiqa radhiallahu anha, they tell me, why do earthquakes take place? She replied, when people begin to commit sins, regarding sinning as something permissible, and they indulge in wine and song and dance, they indulge in intoxicants, they regard music as a form of entertainment, then Allah Ta'ala commands the earth to shake, and in a few seconds, thousands of lives are snuffed out. So these calamities are such that we are, by virtue of our ill actions, because of our transgressions, we are inviting these calamities upon us. So Allah has given us a root cause. A medical doctor also, when we are ill, he will try his utmost to find the root cause so that he can treat it appropriately. So this is the root cause of all these calamities and hardships, our own wrongdoings. The Quran has given the solution to this. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ, Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change themselves, until they come closer to the Quran and to the Sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ, if you will help Allah, Allah needs no help. It means if you will help in promoting the deen of Allah, by practicing upon the deen, by propagating the deen of Allah, then Allah will assist you and establish your feet firmly even against your enemy. Hazrat Maulana Mahmud al-Hasan Sahib Deobandi Rahmatullahi, who was given the title of Shaykh al-Hind by his contemporaries, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi used to say that he should not be given the title Shaykh al-Hind, but the title of Shaykh al-Alam. He is a Shaykh of the entire world. When he was imprisoned by the British in Malta, He spent several years in imprisonment. When he was released from prison, ulama came to meet him. Ulama came to listen to him. Many of them were his students. And he said to them an amazing thing. He said to them that the years I have spent in the prison of Malta, I had many opportunities to reflect over the condition of the ummah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, after spending those years in the prison of Malta, I came out with two lessons that I learned. Allah Ta'ala put into my heart that the reason for the destruction of this ummah in worldly terms and also in terms of the akhirat, that the ummah is headed towards destruction, he says, I learned two lessons. One is this, that the ummah has left the teachings of the Quran. They need to get back to their priorities, to the basics, come back to the teaching of the Quran. And he says, the second thing that I've learned, what is destroying this ummah, is in-house fighting Muslims at the throat of Muslims. We look throughout the world today, in the Middle East conflict too. Enemies are laughing, rejoicing, because they are pitting Muslims against Muslims. Muslims killing Muslims in these conflicts that are taking place. So the Shaykh Huneen Rahmatullahi says, this is the second reason why the ummah is headed towards destruction. We do not recognize our enemy. We are fighting each other. They are rejoicing with their policy of divide and rule. They are dividing the Muslim ummah and they are ruling over us. They are overwhelming us. So this is something we ought to open our eyes. As the Shaykh Huneen Rahmatullahi mentioned this to the ulama, and then he started his campaign of establishing makatib in many parts of India. Makatib or maktabs, we regard them as trivial, where this is the foundation phase for our children. This is that foundation phase where our children's minds, mentality, way of thinking can be brought on the right track, so that knowledge of the Quran, teaching of the Quran is very, very important. So this is also the teaching of the Quran and the Sunnah, that the ummah must unite on one front against the common enemy and not destroy one another. If you look at Baghdad, in the 7th century of Hijri, 13th century in the Gregorian calendar, it was ruled by a Muslim government. It was the center of Islamic learning in those days. But the Muslim government, the rulers eventually became arrogant with all the opulent lifestyle, with the luxuries, with all the assets of the world. They became so arrogant, they began to leave the teaching of the Quran and the Sunnah. Non-Muslims that were living in Baghdad were now being oppressed by the Muslim government. Injustices were being meted out onto them. For no reason whatsoever, they were being punished. Eventually they could not take any more flak. What's the result? That one of the elderly non-Muslims finally climbed upon a hilltop and he called out to the heavens that I'm calling out to you, the sustainer, the Lord of the Muslims. The Muslims believe in you. If you are you are a kind and compassionate Lord, then why are your subjects, why are these people who believe in you, why are they not showing compassion and mercy to us? Why are they oppressing us? So it is said, in the books of history it is written, that a voice came down from the skies, telling the non-Muslim, that you go to your people, take up the cudgels of war, and wipe out this oppression that is taking place in Baghdad. He immediately went, and he gave the non-Muslim encouragement. And it so happened, Allah Ta'ala made it so, Allah Ta'ala decreed that in those days, the Mongol army was also in that vicinity, whose habit was to invade many, many countries. They had no home, no country of their own. They would go from country to country like nomads, and they would conquer many countries. People were afraid of them because the army was very, very strong from the time of Genghis Khan. Now it was grandson. In his grandson's time, this army then eventually gave support to the non-Muslims of Baghdad. And they invaded Baghdad. And the invasion was so terrible that it is said that approximately 1 million civilians were butchered by these Mongols to together with the non-Muslim people living in Baghdad. And so much awe and fear came into the hearts of the Muslims when this Mongol army invaded Baghdad, also known as the Tatars, and the local non-Muslims also got the courage to overthrow the Muslim government. Eventually, the Muslim government was overthrown, masjids were demolished, many historical places were brought down, libraries of Baghdad were famous in those days, they had many, many rare books. These books, Islamic literature, were thrown into the river Tigris. And there were so many books that the clean water of the river Tigris turned black because of the ink that came out of these books. And more than 1 million people were butchered by these Mongols. But what happened? Then they put into place non-Muslim rulers, and the same local non-Muslims, after a few decades, they thought to themselves that when we required assistance, an elderly person from our community climbed the hilltop and he sought assistance from the Lord of the Muslims. The Muslims' creator and Lord Nourisher assisted us, which shows he is a true compassionate Lord, so we should in turn adopt his religion, the religion he has sent down through the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And slowly but surely, first and foremost, one of the grandsons or great-grandsons of Genghis Khan first accepted Islam, and slowly but surely, the local inhabitants also came to the fold of Islam, and they ruled justly. People enjoyed their government. They were not arrogant like the previous Muslim government. And this is what Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُ أَمْثَالَكُمْ. That if you will turn your backs away, if you will turn away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will replace you with better people. And they will not be so arrogant like you. So here Allah ta'ala replaced them, the previous Muslims, with a better Muslim community that showed justice to the Muslims and non-Muslims alike. So this is very, very important. Allah has given us a beautiful deen of Islam. If we will turn away from the teaching of the Quran and Sunnah, it should not happen lest that Allah Ta'ala replaces us with a better nation. Let us appreciate the deen of Allah. Allah has created us Muslims. Allah has made us among the ummah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So important to come back to the priorities, come back to the teaching of the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one of the most effective ways today is to sit in the company of the pious. Go out in the path of Allah too. There too you will enjoy the company of the pious. In this way, we will come once again closer to the Quran and the Sunnah. Allah Ta'ala forgive us for our past transgressions. Allah Ta'ala make us also mentally, physically, spiritually prepared for the coming month of Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala make it possible for us to see it, to remain alive, healthy, to enjoy the month of Ramadan and to derive full benefit from the spiritual ecstasy of the beautiful month of Ramadan. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Our next majlis, inshallah, we know the month of Ramadan is coming. In Ramadan, normally we have our i'tikaf program as well. I think Brother Ashraf has put the book there already. Those who have made up already minds to come for i'tikaf to this masjid, as we know, food, etc. is provided. You come with your own bedding, whether you want to come for the last 10 days or whether for the full month too, accommodation will be provided, arrangements for the full month as well for i'tikaf in this masjid. We also, talks will be taking place, deen and knowledge will be imparted, inshallah we will all benefit. So those who wish to spend their Ramadan in this masjid in i'tikaf, whether the full month or whether 20 days or 10 days, the last ashara, they may give in their names. The book is there in front. If they haven't made up their minds, they can make mashura. And always by way of SMS, they can send a message to Ashraf Ameji so that the arrangements can be made, places can be allocated. We know places limited in the masjid here. So places, the cubicles can be allocated for people wishing to spend their time in i'tikaf, which is a great sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That apart from the time of the conquest of Makkah and one other occasion, Nabi Sallam never had never foregone this sunnah of i'tikaf, especially in the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan. In the Marrakesh, India, Pakistan also, with punctuality, diligently, last 10 days, akabir of the tablighi work also spend the time in i'tikaf. As a Mawla Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi also, after spending time in Jamaat, used to return and spend some time in solitude, sometime in Raipur, Bazar Raipuri Rahmatullahi, and sometime in Nizamuddin, spend some days in i'tikaf, which shows further how important this ibadat of i'tikaf is, especially in the month of Ramadan. So those brothers who wish to come for i'tikaf, they should enter the names in the book there, or later too they can contact Ashraf Amiji and forward their names. And as usual, those who wish to sleep over tonight are welcome to sleep over. Our morning dhikr will take place as usual, half an hour before the Fajr Adhan. Nowadays the Fajr Adhan is 20 to 6. So at 5:10, inshallah our dhikr majlis will take place. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. And our next majlis, monthly majlis, in Shawwal, normally we don't have a majlis. Our madrasa is still closed sometime. I'm also on safar, whatever the case may be. So our next majlis will not be in Shawwal, but the month thereafter, Dhul Qadah. The first week of the Islamic month of Dhul Qadah, probably also corresponding more or less with the first week of August. So that will be our next majlis. Allah keep us alive and well, inshallah, to attend that majlis as well. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى سلام على المرسلين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأنزل المقعد المقرب عندك اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة صل على سيدنا محمد وارض عني رضا لا تسخر بعده أبدا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وارحم سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي وازواجه امهات المؤمنين وذريته واهل بيته كما صليت على سيدنا ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا ابراهيم وعلى ال سيدنا ابراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا ابراهيم وترحم على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد كما ترحمت على سيدنا ابراهيم وعلى ال سيدنا ابراهيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ترحم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما ترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم تحنن على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما تحننت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم سلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما سلمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وارحم سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء وأعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته وزه عنا ما هو أهله وزه أفضل ما جازيت نبينا قوم ورسولا عن أمته وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبي والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل علينا معهم. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك علينا معهم. صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي. اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما جعلتها على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات الطيبات والصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات لله الطيبات والصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات والصلوات الطيبات لله. سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله تحيات الله والصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار. نسأل الله الجنة ونعوذ بالله من النار. التحيات لله زكيات لله طيبات صلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء تحيات الطيبات صلوات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. اللهم اغفر لي واهدني، اللهم اغفر لنا واهدنا. التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله تحيات الله صلوات الله زكيات لله. السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله، شهدت أن محمد رسول الله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمد عبده ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد عبد الله ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. بسم الله والسلام على رسول الله.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار، وقنا عذاب القبر، وقنا عذاب الحشر، وقنا عذاب الفقر، وقنا عذاب الدين، واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الأبرار. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا، وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان، واجعلنا من الراشدين، واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين، واجعلنا من المتطهرين، واجعلنا من الذين يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر، واجعلنا من الذين لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا، اللهم اجرنا من النار يا مجير يا مجير يا مجير. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما أسألك من نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك من نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاء، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. بفضل سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله.